Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll keep digging, amen, in that tonight. As I was kind of studying this a little bit more, there's a little something that I feel I'm going to need to go back to, but I don't know if I'll get a chance to do it tonight. Some time ago, I did some teaching on the body, the spirit, and the soul, and we will probably try to get into a little bit of that as well as we go through this, the body, the spirit, and the soul, but I will try to write a little diagram and all that, and maybe next week we'll get a chance to hit into that. But let's go here back to Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll read the scripture so that we know where we're, what we're focused on tonight. Here in verse 1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, ward," and just so that everybody kind of understands that dispensation, it's a time period. What happens is that when God first started dealing with the people, the children of Israel, he started with the dispensation of law back in that time. It was a dispensation, it was just a time period where law was the thing that governed the people of God. We are not Israelites, we're Gentiles. So what God has done with us, because he only dealt with the Israelites at that time, but now since we're Gentiles, God's grace has come to us, and we're living in a time period of God's grace, amen, to the people. And then after God finishes with the dispensation of grace to the Gentiles, God goes back to the Jews. That's what the 3.5 year tribulation period is all about. It goes back to the Jews where God begins to deal with them to reveal to them who Christ really was. They were looking for their Messiah. He came to them, came to his own, but they received him not. So that time they will have time to repent, and that'll happen during the 3.5 year tribulation period. Amen. Let's keep going here. Verse 3 says, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And that's so important for us, to be able to understand the mystery of Christ, to not get knowledge of the mystery of Christ, "which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So it's the Spirit of God that brings revelation. It's not man that does it, but it's the Spirit of God that does it. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And again, we found Paul saying that he's the less of the least of all the saints, and feeling that way because of what he did there with Stephen. And he was just as guilty as the other ones that killed Stephen. He was there holding their coats when they stoned him to death. But what Paul saw that day when Stephen died just really touched his heart. And eventually Paul began to serve God in the same way that Stephen served God. And he went through just as much tribulation, more tribulation than what Stephen did. But he had an anointing on him to be able to endure that tribulation. Verse 9 says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, in whom we have wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And we're going to focus on that tonight. Strengthened by his Spirit, strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. If we could, let's just line up this first quote out of Looking at the Unseen. Amen. Looking at the Unseen. And I just want to really focus on verse 16 here, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. We want to just talk about a little bit of that tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at this. Looking at the unseen. Brother Branham makes this comment. He says, but a man is made like a sheep, and a sheep cannot find its way back. I'm told when it's lost, it's totally lost. Says, and that's the way with man. When he is lost, he is absolutely helpless. He must have a shepherd to guide him. A man, when he chooses, as the days go on, we find man continually getting worse, choosing rather to walk by sight than instead of by faith, by the unseen. And when he does that, so when man chooses to walk by sight rather than by faith, or, you know, looking at the unseen, when man looks at what he sees and walks by that, when he does that, he robs the inner man, which is the soul. So now that's very important. This is why I was saying that we want to go back to body, spirit, soul, and just kind of bring some of that teaching to the church so that we kind of understand what's really going on the inside. And the soul is controlled by one of two things, doubt or faith. Your soul is controlled by that. Your spirit has these five other things that speaks to it, and I don't have them all, but I know one of them is memory, affections, reasoning. There's two others that I don't remember right now off the top of my head, but I'll bring the chart so you can see. And that's where the spirit is controlled by that. It's five senses there to the spirit, or five gateways to the spirit. But then the body is controlled by what we see, taste, smell, hear, or feel. You know, the body is controlled by that. So, but what we're trying to do is get something to happen on the inner man, within the inner man, that will control the rest of the body. What happens that the soul will take over the spirit, and not only spirit, but also take over what happens in your body. God help us tonight. Amen. As we just kind of try to dig into here. It says, when he does that, he robs the inner man, which is a soul. And that's the eternal part of a man. The eternal part of a man is what's on the inside. That's the real you that we cannot see. Amen. Listen, it says, man shall not live by bread alone, said the Lord, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And a man's physical being to be taken care of is not all the reason God put him on the earth, because what he does with his physical being amounts to very little. It's his soul what counts. It's the soul that's what counts. Amen. The Bible say, what does it profit a man to gain this whole world and lose his soul? See, amen. It's the soul. That's what counts. It's the inward man that did not come from the earth. It come from heaven. And that's the eternal part of the human being. But yet strange that he tries to figure his own way out. And we find it so in the scriptures that when a man chooses to walk in his own way and do the way he wants to, God just lets him alone. See, man must not think for himself, but he must let the mind that was in Christ be in him. We are not to think for ourselves. We are to call anything contrary to what he said as though it is not. No matter what our eyes claim to be, we do not live by what we see. We live by what we believe. That is powerful. And we're going to go a little deeper into that. Just remember that we don't live by what we see, what our eyes claim to see. We don't live by that. We live by what we believe. Praise God. Give me this next little quote here out of adoption. Amen. We live by what we believe, and what you believe should be what's a part of the inner man. The inner man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's gonna be so important. The inner man. See? Amen. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's where we need strength, in the inner man. The outer man, what he sees, it just discourages him. But the inner man needs strength, because the inner man can take control of the outer man. Oh, my God, my God. Let's look at this. Let's look at this, the adoption. Amen. Brother Branham makes this comment here. Then did you notice Moses, that great miracle performer that brought down Israel down through the land and brought them up to the promised land, but did not place their inheritance to them? He did not give them their inheritance. He led them up to the land. But Joshua divided the land to the people. Is that right? And Christ brought the church up to the place where their possession was made to them, was given to them. Just the Jordan to cross, but the Holy Spirit is the one who sets the church in order. The Joshua of today puts the church in its order, giving to each one gifts, places, position. And he is the voice of God, the Holy Spirit. He is the voice of God speaking to the inner man that Christ has saved, the Holy Spirit. Now, do you get that much of it? Now, we're getting over into the book of Ephesians. Now, the same way he's positionally placed in the church where they belong. Now, Joshua placed them in the natural land. Now, the Holy Spirit is placing the church positionally in the land, in the position which they belong in their heritage. So, Brother Branham's telling us the Holy Spirit is what speaks to us in the inner man. That's, again, controlled by doubt. Control, either doubt or faith is what's going to control what happens there with the inner man. Now, it's pretty obvious in the outer man as to what is taking place with your inner man. Oh, my. I'll say that again. It's obvious what is taking place with your outer man, amen, based on your actions, right? That shows what's happening with your outer man tells us what's really going on with your inner man. It's the Holy Spirit, that the voice of God, that has to speak to your inner man. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Awakening Jesus. Awakening Jesus. Now, we're getting ready to move into a little something here, and I pray this will just kind of help you. Oh, my. We need this. We need God to speak. Amen. So we'll be strengthened with might in our inner man. Now, this is Brother Branham just kind of bringing something here regarding a visit that he had to the doctor, or just talking with some doctors. And look at what he says. Talking in a group of doctors the other day, he said, "I read your book on divine healing." So he's telling Brother Branham, "I read your book on divine healing." So Brother Branham said, I guess you criticized. It says, "No, sir, I admit that you're right." The doctor saying, you're right. I said, "Well, thank you, Dr. Shewan." He said, "Brother Branham, we have record that when we tell a person that's got a malignancy or something is going to kill him, an ulcer ready to burst or tubercular, it depends on what attitude they take." See, this is what I'm talking about, strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. The doctors are telling Brother Branham, we got record on this. If when I go and I give this person bad news and I tell them what's going on in their body, it depends on the attitude they take as to what happens to them from that point on. Oh, my. See, I mean, that's where I, Lord, speak to my inner man. Without a man, you're looking at the results of what the doctor say, but the Bible say, whose report are you going to believe? See? Amen. That's why I said that other quote that we just read there, you know, where Brother Ram said, we do not live by what we see, we live by what we believe. That's something you might want to write down. We don't live by what we see, we live by what we believe. Oh, glory. Listen, he says, it depends on what attitude they take. If they get all tore up, said they die right away. If they get all tore up, they die right away. Oh, my. Amen. It's faith, church. It's going to take faith. Listen, he says, but said, if they take the attitude, well, dying is just part of living. It's all right when I die. Said, you know, it almost retards that case. What means is that the case reverses. It's the attitude towards it. And the doctor trying to explain it to Brother Branham, if they just kind of look at him like, dying is part of living. I mean, I'm not afraid of this, you know. And it's the way that they look at it, and the doctor trying to explain it in his way. But if the doctor can see that, why can't we say, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord? See? Amen. It's our attitude. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's one thing to really say it out your mouth, but it's another thing to believe it in the inner man, and once it's believed in the inner man, then it comes out your mouth. Oh, hallelujah. See, sometimes we talk that way because we're around the saints. See, I'm not talking about like that because you're around the saints. I'm talking about when you by yourself. Lord, give me strength in the inner man. That's what Paul is talking about here in the book of Ephesians. Strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. My God, my God. Listen, well, dying is a part of living. It's all right when I die. Said, you know, it almost retards that case. But the man said, I just thought, if that mental attitude taken like that, what will it do when the Holy Spirit strikes that inner man? There it is. I asked him that. He said, certainly, that's right. If you can move into a spot, move up into that, one of the best surgeons and doctors there is in the Southland, he said, Mr. Branham, it can be proved if a man will move, can move up into that spot until even his own mind don't even know he's got it. To think he's got it. Your mind don't even think that you got it. Don't even pay any attention to it. Said it would do it if he can believe that. That's true, see. So when Brother Branham say your body would come aligned with your confession, church, we need this. We need this. He goes on to say the mental attitude you take towards it will bring. Now the mind won't do it, but if you give that attitude towards something got life in it, then that life comes down and does it. Not your mental attitude. That only brings you into the presence of him. That's what you do, your mind. The five senses is all right as long as they don't deny God. But when they go to denying God, then you leave them alone. God controls them. That's the creator. See? And when they talk about the five senses, again, what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you feel. See? Touch, taste, you know. Don't let those things dictate. God give you that so we can just kind of function within here on the earth. But when those five senses go against the word of God, we got to push them five senses to the side, and we got to use the sixth sense, which is a sense of faith. Amen. Amen. We got to use that. Praise God. Amen. It must happen, church. We cannot allow ourselves to just get wrapped up like that. Without trying to at least fight with some faith. And again, if my faith is that weak, then I'm going to be praying, Lord, give me your faith. Help me believe this. Help me believe this. I want to believe this. I don't want this to just be a Bible story. I want to believe the word. I want to live by the word. Hallelujah. Let's go on to something else. Believest thou this? Give me that quote. I think I wrote that one down for tonight. Believest thou this? I'm just going to work with your faith here just a little bit. Praise God. And he asking a question here. And, it, and the service says, how many says that's a white, that says that shirt's white? Says, if you believe you're going to be healed tonight, the same as your faith says you're going to be healed, as sure as your sight says, that's white. So if your sight is saying, you know, he had a brother standing up there, how many believe his shirt is white? Everybody, yeah, the shirt is white. He said, if your faith was the same way that your sight was, it would be over. If your faith was the same way, your sight, that's white. That is, that's just as sure as I'm looking at it is white, and can nobody tell you that it's no other color. That is white. And if somebody else, no, that's gray. I tell you what, I ain't going to even fight with you. I ain't going to even argue with you. You better get your eyes checked by the doctor because that is white. See? And that, and if, when you got that type of resolve, when God speaks to you and tell you that you're healed, then no matter what no doctor's reports say, you believe you're healed. Amen. I am healed. It's over right then. Oh, my. Church, I went back and was listening to some past services, and I went back and listened to the message. The miracle is when we believe. That's when the miracle takes place, is actually when you believe. It's not when you see anything. It's when you believe that it's done. Amen. That's when the miracle takes place right there. When you can, I mean, when your inner man just accepts it and causes your outer man just to keep confessing it, it's taking place right then. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen. It goes on to say this, and I like this. It says, same as your faith says you're going to be healed, just as sure as your sight says that's white, it's over. I don't care what you look like, what you feel like. It's over. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is that? And in the church it says, that's a piano. And I can imagine him walking over there and just touching a few notes on the piano. Say, is that right? That's a piano. Is that right? Says, somebody said, seeing was believing. Did you see it? Did you taste it? Did you taste the piano? No. And you can't do that, right? Did you smell it? It don't. If you tried to smell it, it wouldn't. And you was blindfolded, you really still wouldn't be able to tell it's a piano. If somebody put a blindfold on you, don't try to go eat the piano leg and say that's a piano. You can't do that, right? It's wood, you know. You can't try to sniff it and tell whether it's a piano. No, that's not it. He says, did you taste it, smell it? How do you know it was playing? He said, you heard it. He said, so through your sense of hearing, that's how you knew that it was a piano, no matter what nobody did. Whether you saw it, whether you felt it, whether you touched it yourself, you can tell by hearing. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we God used these things. I mean, we can, you know, like if I were to run behind that wall and call out, you know, nobody saw me go back there, but I ran on the other side. The way that you know it was me, if I'm yelling out from over there, the way that you know it's me, because you know my voice. You know my voice, you see. So sometimes you don't have to see. Seeing is believing. No, you don't have to see. You don't have to touch. You don't have to do any of that. But you just start believing even without seeing. And it brings things to pass. This is the way that we have to operate, by faith in God's word. Whether we see it or not, we still got to believe it, because God said so. And if God said so, then it's over. Amen. It says, look, stand up here a minute, brother. There stands a man before me with a brown suit on and a red tie. How many believes it? How do you know it? You got five senses, the human body. Stay there. It's telling the brother, so you got five senses in the human body, haven't you? See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Is that right? Now, I know he's standing there because I see him. You said, I'm from Missouri. You have to show me. See, that's the Missouri is called the show me state. People use this type of terminology, but when you come to God, you can't use that. Amen. See, I'm from Missouri. You have to show me, all right, seeing is believing. It is. The man standing there yet. I don't see him. And I can't see him. It's impossible to me to see him in this position. You want to argue with me? He's not there? You try to. That's that same man standing there. How do I know? Because I see him. No, sir, I have another sense separate from seeing, which is feeling. And I know he's there. And my sense of sight cannot see him, but the sense of faith, which is a separate sense, declares that he is there. I know it because I know my feeling is right. Now, I can't touch him with that sense at all, see? But I know he's there by another sense, which is sight. Is that right? Thank you. Now, listen, it says faith is an individual sense. Besides any there, it's the sixth sense. That's the outside man that God put in human flesh here, give him five senses to contact his earthly home. And the inside man, the spirit, has two senses, and that is unbelief and faith. And when your faith says that you're going to be healed, same as your sight says that the man had on a red tie and a brown suit, it's over. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you do not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you do not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Amen. There you are. You believe it, and you can't accept it now until you do believe it. And you've got to believe it before it will act. You see what I mean, friends? People stand on the platform. They say, well, why don't something happen? It can't happen until you believe it, accept it, and confess that it's right. This is why we need strength in the inner man. See, because the thing of it is, and Brother Brandon is trying to make this so clear and so plain for us, and I like what I see him doing here. If you can declare things with your natural eye, yeah, I see that chair is maroon. You know, some might say red or whatever. It's maroon. It's in that family, the red family. You can declare that with your eyes, and you know, and nobody can shake you from it. Church, don't let nobody shake you from your faith in God's word. Don't let nobody shake you. Don't let no report, don't let no evil report shake you. Nothing, don't let it shake you. Stay right there with what God said, and let God strengthen your inner man. Hallelujah. It says, take a woman, come to the altar here, or a man, and let them be ever so vile, like a real sinner. They could scream and cry and walk up and down the altar saying, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, day in and out, day in and out, and they just keep pacing. Lord, I've repented. I've done everything I can do. They'll keep pacing until the hour when in their hearts they believe it and then confess it. And when they confess it, he goes to work on it. He's working on the confession, see. And he cannot intercede for you until you first confess that it's already done by faith, for he is the high priest of your confession. You understand? Jesus Christ is the high priest of your confession. Now, the problem is what are we confessing? And look at the prophets. The prophets say, for he is the high priest of your confession. Amen. And he says, woo, I feel pretty good. It's getting late. I got to let you go home. But he's saying here, Jesus cannot do anything until we confess it. We bind him up by the words that we speak, or we can loose him. You know, you got the power to bind and loose. You got the power to bind and loose. You know, that's all in within the believer. That one time, I think it was a dream that, you know, the prophet had, and he saw a devil, it was a snake that was chasing the brother and running behind his brother. And he saw the brother just running from spot to spot, jumping, trying to get away from that snake that was chasing him. And so the Lord told him, said, you got the power to bind and loose. Just bind that snake in the name of Jesus. So he spoke, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And that snake began to crystallize and it stopped chasing the brother. The brother was feeling pretty good. Boy, he's up. That snake is off me now. Then brother, God said, you got the power to loose. Now loose him. I loose you in the name of Jesus. That snake uncrystallized and start chasing that brother all over again. Bind him. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I loose you. Just kept doing that, showing him that he had that power within himself to do that. The church, you got the same power in you. You got the same power. But what are you saying? Are you binding it? Are you loosening it? Which one are you doing? Amen. Amen. I'm gonna tell you, I just believe there's some people that went to the grave before their time because they did not use this power that God gave them, and it was not God's fault. God has given us what we have need of. It's up to us to stand on the word of God and not let no devil shake us. Like I said on Sunday, at least I'm gonna try. Amen. I'm gonna at least try, and you know. God got the answer at some point in time. You know, this word works. I've seen it work in other people's day. It's got to work in our day too. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You have the power to bind and loose. All right. Let's go here to just another quote here out of Thyatira and Church Age. And Brother Branham's just kind of explaining again this scripture in Ephesians 3:16. So I want to bring that in. He's quoting from Book of Revelation here before. I didn't pull that. Let me just see if I can get it real quick for you to show you where he's quoting from. He's quoting from Revelation chapter 2, verse 24. He's bringing this in. Oh, my. It says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. As many as have not this doctrine and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But we're going to go ahead and go to the quote here now. He's just quoting there from Revelation 2:24, and he's taking out that little sentence, the depths of Satan. They have not known the depths of Satan. Now, says, it seems that this verse has been left out by the commentators, for they were not able to figure out what doctrine or what experiences are meant by this phrase. Now, I'll just kind of share this. I love the way Brother Branham just put this. I was just reading my Bible a few days ago, and I can't recall right now exactly what I was reading, but as I was reading it, I said, man, that is a perfect, that certainly aligns with this other portion of scripture here in the New Testament. I was reading something in the Old Testament, I think in Leviticus or Numbers. It says, man, that is perfect. That lines up very perfect a little bit here in the New Testament. And as I looked in my little references, and I say, well, they didn't put no reference to that, but that is perfect. That's perfectly in line. And what Brother Branham's saying here is that sometimes, and you know, when we study in the Word of God, this is very key. Study the Word of God. We're dependent on a lot of these theologians to try to get, you know, the truth to us, but sometimes they miss it. And what we need there is what we call prophetic insight to be able to catch what God is saying in His Word. Because the theologians, they'll go right over the top of it. So you just can't just trust them alone, because God will speak some other things to you as you get deeper into the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If you got if you want to know truth, God's got to have somebody somewhere to reveal truth to you. Amen. If you want to know truth, God's got to have somebody to reveal truth to you. That's what we call a deep calling to the deep. You know, if a person longs for water, it's got to be water somewhere. Amen. To quench that thirst. There's a little boy. Brother Branham told a story about the little boy that, you know, there was something in him. I think he longed for sulfur, something like that. And that boy would eat anything that had sulfur in it. And they caught him one time eating a pedal on a bicycle. And they like, what in the world is wrong with this boy? But it was something in him crying out for sulfur. See, hey man, if there's a deep in you crying out, if you want to know more of God, there's got to be more of God somewhere. Amen. To respond to that cry. Let's keep going with this. Listen. seems that this verse has been left out by the commentators, for they were not able to figure out what doctrine or what experiences are meant by this phrase. Actually, it is simple to know what is meant. Let us first know what the depth of God is, and the opposite will be true for what the depth of Satan. And it says in Ephesians 3:16 that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's verse 16 through 19. It says, now according to these verses, when a man experiences the depth of God in his life, it is an actual personal experience of the Spirit of God indwelling him. And his mind is illuminated by the wisdom and knowledge of God through the Word. Now, I don't know about you. I know I have experienced that. Sometimes you can just be going along and God will just kind of quicken a little something to you. You know, you wasn't even looking for it, or maybe you reading your Bible and then all of a sudden just something just, it just like new revelation just flood your spirit, you know? And it's like when that happens, like, oh my, it's a feeling that you just really can't explain. I know that the prophet, you know, one time he said one time God did that to him, he was out in the woods, he said he just start running around the trees. You know, just running around the tree. You're like, oh, I can't believe God just showed me that. Oh, wow. Just, you know, it's just very, very special. It's a personal walk with the Lord. And he does those things for you. It says, listen, it says, according to these verses, when a man experiences the depth of God in his life, it is an actual personal experience of the Spirit of God indwelling him. And his mind is illuminated by the wisdom and knowledge of God through the Word. But the depth of Satan will be in that he will attempt to destroy this. He will, as always, attempt to make a substitute for this reality of God. How will he do it? He will take away the knowledge of the truth of God, destroy the Word by putting forth his own. Now, that's exactly what Satan has done today. He's taken, you know, where, oh, my. There are certain things in Scripture that we've allowed this enemy to use to separate the church. Now, there are some things that people just believe because it was just there. Now we don't explain it away, and we don't realize that Satan taking us to the depths of Satan. Satan was the one that he preached. He was the first preacher, actually took the Scripture, opened it up, and began to try to expound upon what it meant. He did that to Eve. He began to try to tell Eve, no, it don't mean that, but it means this. Now, when he did, and when Eve said, you know what, that makes sense what you're saying. That, you know what, that does make a lot of sense. You know, why would God do that anyway? Yeah, God's a God of love. God wouldn't do nothing like that. And as soon as she did that, took that bite out of that fruit, it was over. Life has never been the same again. Because somebody doubted the word of God. Now, same thing has happened in the church world. Listen, woman in the Scripture represent the church. All right. So Eve represents represents the church throughout history. Even today, she represents the church, where the church has began to take down on the standards of the word of God. And by taking down, amen, you see the church is powerless. The church is not, I mean, we're not experiencing the power of God like we used to experience. A lot of things have changed because we've taken a lie over the truth. Amen. We've compromised with the word of God. God wants us to stay with this. Amen. And when you feel you're getting weak, ask God to strengthen you in your inner man. Amen. Amen. We need this. We need this. Hallelujah. So I tell you, you know, if we ever going to see God move, we better get back to this word. That's just bottom line. Amen. Amen. Listen. All right. It goes on here to say this. He will always attempt to make a substitute for this reality of God. He will do it. He will take away the knowledge of the truth of God, destroy the word by putting forth his own. Yea, hath God said. He will then substitute the personal Christ in our spirits. Amen. Substitute the personal Christ in our spirits. He will do it as he caused Israel to do the same by a human being reigning as king instead of God. Now, that was an important statement that he made there. What happened with the children of Israel is God wanted to lead them with a prophet. God had prophets in the land, and God wanted to just continue to lead them with a prophet. But they told Samuel, said, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. And when they rejected the prophets and accepted a king to be led by a man, that's when they got in more and more trouble. They got further and further away from God every time they did that. See, so, and the same thing has happened with the church world today. Rather than let the Holy Spirit control the church, what we do is have a man in control. What? Overseer, superintendent, a bishop. See, I mean, we give these men these titles. Where is superintendent in the Bible? Where? The word superintendent is nowhere even in the scripture. Not even there. But yet, he's a superintendent. Where he get that title from? See? I mean, and when we talk about a bishop, you know what a bishop's supposed to be? We done made it more than what, oh Lord, I'm out there now. Because, you know, let me just share it like this. A bishop's supposed to be a local pastor inside the church. That's what the bishop's supposed to be. He's just the elder inside the church. That's all. But now we done made it where a bishop is somebody that's over a bunch of churches. He ain't had nothing to do with none of those churches getting started, but because of his name, people want to be identified with him. He take over all those churches. You got to be careful of that type of spirit. Amen. And we're so far off the word of God. Now, the bishop in the Bible says the bishop should be husband of one wife. But now we got in the church women bishops. When the Bible say, let a bishop be husband of one wife. Now, come on now. You explain that to me. How you going to call yourself a bishop and it say be husband of one wife? What that tell you spiritually? There's another spirit spiritually taking place. I'm trying to be good because you got a mixed audience. Amen. But there's another spirit. It's a prevalent spirit in our day. When you see two women walking, you got a problem. The way they walk nowadays, used to be back in my day, you could see two women walking and holding hands and giggling and wasn't nothing. But now when I see, praise God, you got a big problem. That same thing has taken place spiritually. In the church. When you see that naturally, it's a sign of what's taking place spiritually in the church. And let me tell you something, the church will never be able to correct it because they're the ones started it. Amen. See, all it does is start spiritual, but then begin to manifest itself naturally. That's what happens. God strengthened me in my inner man so I can stay with this word no matter what. Nobody, I don't care how many people a church got and got nothing to do with that. Stay with the word. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The reason that churches grow so much because they don't stay with all the word. They begin to shave this off and shave that off, make everybody feel comfortable. And hey, if you don't like the Bible I'm reading from, bring your Bible. You can even write your own Bible. And we got all this confusion going on in the church. Now, we should come right back to what God said. Amen. And don't change what God said. Amen. Don't let down the bars on it. Amen. I mean, we got to hold it up high. And yeah, you know what? Back in the day when people preached like that, it pinched your toes. It sure enough did. Some of us need our toes pinched, though. It helped us keep in line. Keep it in line. Let me finish this quote. Yea, hath God said, he will then substitute the personal Christ in our spirits. He will do it. As we call Israel to do the same by a human being reigning as king instead of God. And that's what he told the prophet Samuel. He said, they're not rejecting you, they rejected me. They were rejecting God when they wanted a king. And when man is requiring a bishop to lead him rather than God, the same thing with the Pope in the Catholic Church. If the Pope said, that's it. No, they don't care what the Bible say. It's what the Pope say. And unfortunately, the church is what the bishops say, not what the Bible say. Amen. Ain't nothing but the truth. The born-again experience will be rejected in favor of church joining. Now, y'all know that's the truth, Lord. The depths of Satan have been entered into in that age, and the fruit of that depth of Satan, which are lies, murders, and horrible crimes, came forth from it. Now, that statement he just made there, the born-again experience will be rejected in favor of a church joining. It's many folk go to church right now. Boy, they, when I come up, this is just the way I come up. When you want the, oh, my girls told me don't do it that way, so you want to join the church. When you join the church, y'all ever join the church? I done joined the church. And when I joined, they put a chair out there, and I went down and sat in that chair, and I shook the preacher hand, and that was joining the church. Now, I wasn't saved. Many people, just because you sit in a chair don't make you saved. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. And I seen drunks come sit in the chair. Couldn't wait till that part of the service. Staggering up there. Sit in the chair and shake the pastor's hand and become a member of the church. Well, when you really think about it, the family that you are part of, how did you join that family? How you joined that family? How you became the name that you were born into that family? If you're going to join the family of God, you got to be born into the family of God. Everybody got to have a born-again experience. Everybody got. If you're going to call yourself a member of the family of God, you should be born again. That's just bottom line. Amen. Not because you shook somebody's hand. That do not make you no Christian. Amen. Living in the palace don't make you the king. Living in the barn don't make you one of the barn animals. Amen. See, you ain't a pig just because you live in a barn. Amen. So, you know, people have to have their nature change. That's what it's all about. And until that take place... I wouldn't put too much confidence in a lot of stuff. Amen. But God helped me to be strengthened in my inner man. That's what I'm looking for. To help us maintain, you know, the word of God where we could flow into the depths of God rather than in the depths of Satan. Oh my. That works in so many ways, not just to what I call Christendom inside the church, but even inside your own body. Applying your faith to your situation. God, strengthen me in my inner man so that I can overcome whatever it is the devil is throwing my way. That's what I need. Amen. I want to come, I got a little bit more here because I want to go back into the body, the spirit, and the soul. And I got a little chart that I want you all to just kind of look at. And my plan is to bring that next week, and I'll bring a quote along with that. And then we'll just kind of go a little further with this. But I trust that this was a blessing to your hearts tonight. Give me strength in my inner man. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We are people that need to feel the strength. We need God. We need you to speak to us from the inside. Reveal to us, Lord. For it's through revelation, God, that we overcome the enemy. No matter what happens, no matter what occurs in life, we can turn that thing around if we just have the right mental attitude, based our experience, base our faith on what your word has spoken. God bless us is our prayer. Help us to walk like this. Amen. To speak like this, to live like this daily. But that's what we need. Pray, oh God, that you just bless every ear that's heard the word tonight. Those that would hear this on the internet, pray that you bless them. And that you, God, would just continue to get glory out of our lives is our prayer. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We will prepare for tonight's tithes and offering. Amen. We want to just mention that we'll be in service on Friday night. My desire is possibly Friday night we'll get another video from Zimbabwe and be able to show that to you. I know that we had plans to try to get all of those out. And I think there's probably about 7 services, and I don't know if I'll get a chance to show all 7 services, but I'll get one from each minister that spoke to make sure that everybody, you know, we get a chance to see that. But so this Friday night, we'll try to bring another one of the videos, go right into some of the specials and then right into the preaching, amen, of the word on Friday night. So praise the Lord. I want to just remind you to continue to keep Sister Carter in prayer. Mother Tillman, amen, continue to keep them in prayer. It's good to have Brother Leroy back with us, amen, on tonight.